Do you earnestly desire to see the glory of God? It's a nice thought. I don't know. I sometimes wonder if we can handle it by what we have here in Scripture. It was a frightening experience for Peter and James and John, those who were closest to Jesus. But we've been called to experience the glory of God. Let me ask you a question. What makes you so sure God's here this morning? Weird question for a preacher to ask people at church. I mean, if God was here or not here, how would we know? And you see, people in the Old Testament, they had a way of knowing. Because I tell you what, when God's presence was there, God was there. And the whole idea of glory, the glory of the Lord, is wrapped up in the presence of God. God being there in a mighty, powerful way. God's presence is so amazing. His glory is so powerful. It is been described as a light that you almost can't stand. And that's why so often we have this image, both in the Old Testament and the New, at Transfiguration, that God is in a cloud. That God's brightness, God's glory, God's presence is so powerful that we can't stand it. That's why it was thought that if you saw the face of God, you would die. That God's presence is so wonderful, we cannot handle being in that presence. So often it is in a cloud to disguise it, to hold it back so it doesn't overwhelm us. When Moses went up on that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, a cloud wrapped itself around the peak of that mountain. But lightning came through the breaks of the cloud. Light came through the cloud. People knew something powerful was happening. The earth shook. There were earthquakes. When God is present, something's going on. And later, when God said he would be with the people, God's presence was there at the Red Sea to deliver them. You know, I'd really love to see somebody remake Exodus. I mean, it was a great movie. But you know, when you look at that movie now, the visual effects are so phony. I remember sitting in a theater when it first came out, and those visual effects of the water, of wall, and the pillar of fire and the cloud of smoke, they were pretty impressive. But man, the way we can make stuff happen in movies today, I'd really love to see somebody remake those miracles of God's presence. Wouldn't it be amazing? With today's technology, God is a powerful God. And when he's present, his glory is present. You just can't hold it back. It's a powerful thing. And the people were afraid to step on the mountain. His presence and his glory were so powerful. Well, after Moses came down from the mountain, he found them having a little problem down in the valley below. You know, they'd made a golden calf, and what happened to the tablets of stone? He threw them down, and they broke. He was so angry at them for straying away from God. And he spent 40 days on his knees before God, asking God not to wipe them out for what they had done. And then after another 40 days and nights, where'd he go? Back up on the mountain. Back in the cloud. Back in there with the flashes of lightning and the light beams coming out, the earth shaking for another 40 days and 40 nights, and came back down the mountain again with the tablets. Moses was so in the presence of God that his face actually glowed, and he had to wear a veil because people couldn't stand to look on just the reflected glory of God. Well, God wasn't real pleased with these people he had delivered, so he wanted a special place to talk to Moses. So there was a tent of meeting that Moses put up, a small tent outside the camp, because God really didn't want to go into their camp. Not those people. Those people he had delivered from Egypt, and then they do such a thing as create a god to worship when he was right there on the mountain. And so there was this tent of meeting that Moses would go to. And when God wanted to talk to him, that cloud settled over that tent. And Moses would run out to the tent. And the glory of the Lord would be there, sometimes so powerful he couldn't go inside. And all of the people stood and watched every time he went into the tent of meeting. A little later on, we hear about that tabernacle being in the midst of the people. And some of y'all have studied that in your Bible study. God in the midst. And the glory of God filled the tabernacle. So powerful, they'd have to sort of wait for the glory to subside before they could even go in. What if, on a Sunday morning, a couple of our early people showed up at church, and the glory of the Lord was so powerful and evident in this place, all you could see was tremendous beams of light coming out all of these windows. They'd probably be calling you, Linwood. Something's happening at church. I don't know what it is, but it's full of light. I don't know if there's a fire in there or what. But there's these light beams that are coming out all over the place, and traffic on Hope Mills Road has stopped, and Rayford Road, and they say you can see it all the way downtown. That'd be pretty spectacular. And that's the kind of thing that happened when the presence of the Lord was there. It was in the tabernacle in the wilderness. It was in the tabernacle at the time of David. It was in Solomon's temple. They knew God was there because the presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, was so powerful. There was no doubt that God was there. And when we come to the New Testament, we receive in the Gospel of John this wonderful testimony, and the Word became fleshed and tabernacled among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only Son of the Father. You know, there's no story of the glory of the Lord inhabiting the temple in Jesus' day. They rebuilt the temple, had a beautiful place to worship, had all kinds of rituals and hymn singing, all kinds of celebrations in Herod's temple. But there's no evidence that God resided his glory there. How do we really know that God is with us? How do we experience the glory of the Lord in our lives? Now, as human beings, we like glory. We like praise. We like honor. We get all wrapped up in a basketball game or a football game or a hockey game, and you feel like there's an energy there. Something's going on in this place, and yet you can come to church and think things are dead. Where's the glory of the Lord? We say we want to see his glory. Oh, well, I just want to see it in the future. I just want to see it in heaven. I don't know about you, but I want to see it now. I want to see it in my lifetime. I want to see that exciting, transforming, miraculous presence. Now, maybe there won't be flashing of beams of light out of this window, but there ought to be a power and a majesty and a glory that people can see. Our faces, our lives ought to be changed and energized and transformed that people see Christ in us. Is it going to happen? Do we want it to happen? Do we want God to take that much power and control over us? Because I think that's the only way we're going to see the glory of the Lord. Jesus tells us in that high priestly prayer, in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, He says, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given to me, I have given to them so that they may be one as you are one. I and them. You and me. That they may become completely one. So that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you love me before the foundations of the world. As we approach this Lenten season, I hope there's a desire in every heart here that we experience the presence of the Lord, that we see the glory of the Lord. And Jesus tells us the greatest manifestation of his glory and presence that he's already given to us is when we are one in him. That we live and dwell so in the presence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that any difference separating us is pushed aside and we become one in Christ Jesus. We become unified. Because I don't believe God reveals himself very often in the midst of disunity. But God loves unity. God loves oneness. God can come down off the cross when we're one and desire more than anything else to be in his presence. The glory of the Lord is not in heaven one day by and by. It's available to us now. But we've got to desire it. We must seek it. And we must allow it to change and transform our lives. Just as Jesus demonstrated on the Mount of Transfigurations. Now back to a little reality. Peter, James, John. They didn't know how to handle the glory of the Lord. So what did they decide to do? Lord, let's build booths. Made them think about the festival of booths, which is also called the festival of tabernacles, the dwelling of God with us. Let's build a building. Surely, if we build a building, God will be there. Well, God didn't inhabit Herod's temple. Nobody ever saw the Shekinah, the glory of the Lord there. And Jesus pretty much tells us, if the world's going to see the glory of the Lord, it's going to happen when we get together as one people and we let his word shine. I want to see that. I believe we can have that right here in this church. But we've got to want it more than anything else. To experience the glory of the Lord. That's why we come here to worship. That's why we have an empty cross. So we can experience the glory of the Lord. Do you want to see the glory of the Lord in this lifetime? Then let us love one another. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, help us to be so filled with your presence and your great love. That when we come here, we become one. That our differences and our disagreements just drop by the wayside because we're not that wrapped up in the things of this world. We crave your presence in our lives. You promised it in your Son, Christ Jesus. He was your presence in the world. Yet the world killed him. We want to know every time we walk into this place that we're walking into a holy place where you push aside differences and make us one if we desire to experience the glory of your presence. Everything else will be given to us. Help us to surrender to your power. Help us not to busy ourselves about building stuff all the time because we can control it, because that limits your power. It gets in the way of our surrendering ourselves to your holy presence. Lord Jesus, come. May your presence be among us always, but especially when we worship together. In Jesus' name, let your glory be manifested among us. We ask these things in the name of your Son, through the power of your Spirit, O loving Father. Amen.